Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Brandon Bastide is here. Brandon's a new friend, but we know his organization well. He's a partner at Gallup and executive director of education and workforce development. He led the Gallup education and led Gallup's education group in the release of studies like State of America Schools and others, and he's here today to deliver some new research that's very illuminating and at the same time troubling. He's our new friend, Brandon Bastide. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you here. Anybody from Gallup's always welcome on our show. You guys do good work. We've admired your work for a long time. So one of the things that I'm going to start our conversation by repeating something I said in the previous segment. One of the problems we have in America, maybe not just in America, but today we're just talking about the United States, is we're still, even now in the second decade of the 21st century, we're still dealing with 20th century paradigms and promises that are crashing into our 21st century reality. And it seems that our education system is one of those. What do you think?
Jim, there's no doubt that the entire world in some form is struggling with how it's teaching people, right? How it's creating learning paradigms. And certainly that's true through schools at the K-12 level. It's certainly true at the higher education post-secondary level. And the U.S. is definitely part of that. You know, I think we're struggling a lot with outdated systems, lack of connectivity between the kinds of things that are being taught and career outcomes. And this isn't easy work because, as you know, anybody who's paying attention to the jobs and the overall market and labor economy in the U.S. and around the globe, that's changing drastically at a very fast pace as well. And so, you know, to try and keep up with the alignment between what's being taught in school and the kinds of jobs and careers and tasks that are required in those
right.
is no easy feat.
Well, we've got a 21st century yeah. marketplace and a 20th century education system. So in some ways, you could go back to the 19th century with some of the education elements. How far off am I with that statement?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. In many ways, you go back to some really old school models of education. Take the one-room schoolhouse. You know, this seems ancient.
Yeah.
But look at also the benefits that happened there where, you know, a student who might have been ahead of the curve could learn with some
right.
of the older kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kids were teaching each other. You know, it was an intimate relationship between the teacher and the students in that classroom. And obviously, we're not going to go back to that.
Right.
But there are some insights in our education system.
Interesting.
Here's some good news. There's examples of schools and teachers and classrooms all over the country that are doing amazing work. The problem is we really haven't scaled it. We haven't created a system
right.
that is aligned with this. And one of the premise that we've arrived at Gallup is that, you know, we are what we measure. And if we've created a system that's focused on very basic metrics like how students score on standardized tests, what kind of grades they get, we're missing out on two of the most important ingredients in education, which are relationship-rich learning and work-integrated learning.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of ways to describe that, Jim, but those two things, you think about all the ways that those two things
is
might
that,
happen.
Is that like what the marketplace calls engagement?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right.
And the workforce, the experts call that engagement.
Yeah, there's a difference between rote memorization and actually learning how to apply things or being
mm-hmm.
a creative thinker or, you know, being able to kind of dissect a problem and come up with a number of different
mm-hmm.
solutions to it. Those are very different things. Now, they're not easy things to teach. They're not easy things to measure, but they absolutely can be taught and they absolutely can be measured. We're
mm-hmm.
just not challenging ourselves enough on that front.
What were some of the most illuminating elements of the research that you found?
So we've been doing more work and studies across the K-12 and higher education landscape over the last 5 years than any organization, no doubt. And if I just summarize some of the high-level findings we found in that, Jim, is that if you take, for example, successful college graduates, looking at their long-term outcomes and their mm-hmm. careers and their overall lives, right, going beyond just simply did they graduate, and you say, okay, what are the ingredients of college that are linked to their success later? Here's what they are. They are things like saying your professors cared about you as a person, saying you had a mentor who encouraged your goals and dreams, having a job or an internship where you applied what you were learning in the classroom, mm-hmm. and doing things like working on a long-term project that took a semester or more to complete. Now, those things don't sound like rocket science in the grand scheme of things. The problem is the percentage of college graduates who hit the mark on any of those is less than a third on any of those individual
wow.
things that I just
wow.
rattled off.
And that ought to be fundamental, shouldn't it?
It should. I mean, that ought to be kind of a requirement for graduation. You know,
right.
things like having
right.
worked on a long-term project that takes
mm-hmm.
a semester or more to complete. I mean, what are they doing? Taking pop quizzes and writing
right.
five-page papers all
exactly.
4 years, right?
Yeah, term papers.
Yep.
So another thing that you point out is that enrollment in colleges and universities has declined for the last 6 years. Now, what does that tell us?
Yeah, not many people are paying attention to this, but we hit peak enrollment in post-secondary institutions in 2011, and enrollment's been down every year since then. So essentially 7 straight years of enrollment declines. We have 2.4 million fewer students enrolled in higher education today than we did at our peak. And we're also going to be facing a population age demographic dip of traditional 18-year-olds. So, you know, there's going to be a real challenge for the college and universities that are competing for the traditional 18-year-old. That said, half of higher education in the U.S. right now is educating adult learners.
Yeah.
And so we also need to rethink what we, in our minds, kind of conjure
and
what, up.
But here's my question. What are they teaching them? Are they teaching them French literature and art? Are they teaching them how to weld? You know, how to program a computer? What are they doing?
Yeah, all that's happening. You know, we're fortunate to have a very diverse higher ed system in the United States. That said, you know, there are certainly areas where we probably have an overabundance of students in certain kinds of programs. We have, you know, few students in programs that are super high growth industries, right?
Right.
We're trying to get more people in the fields like nursing. Welding is an example that a lot of people use. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of need for
And welding is a pretty good thing to use, except that is something a robot can do pretty well, though, by the way. Brandon, I need your website, please.
Well, just www.gallup.com, G-A-L-L-U-P.
And they look for America for your research. America has to change how it keeps score in education. Can they find it there?
Yeah, exactly. That's an article I just wrote about my strong belief that we need to change how we're measuring things.
Hold on to that thought, Brandon. When we come back, we're going to talk about where he thinks we should go.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.